from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirms Indonesian commitment for moderate Islam. Palestinian delegation unable to attend the high-level consultation World Muslim Scholars in Bogor due to domestic issue. Submarine Arda Dedali 404 to strengthen Indonesian fleet. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed the implementation of the World Ulama's Muslim Scholars Summit on Tuesday at Bogor Palace, West Java. The President said the forum is a media to share experiences for ulamas to develop tolerant and becomes the pioneer of the people's benefit. On the opening of the Ulama Consultation Forum and Muslim Scholar, President Joko Widodo asserted Indonesia's commitment in supporting the establishment of the World Moderate Islamic Axis. In the meeting, which was attended by domestic and foreign ulamas, President Joko Widodo also said through the Moderate Islamic Movement, Muslims will be able to show to the world that Islam is a religion which brings peace for the people universally.
Posisi Indonesia sangat jelas.
Indonesia's position is very clear. We encourage and commit for the establishment for the World Islamic Wasatiyah. We believe with Islamic Wasatiyah, we want to show that Islam a religion of Rahmatan Lil Alamin, which bring peace for the world.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo added that, in addition to be a media of sharing experience, the consultation forum can be a basic for the world establishment of infrastructure of moderate Islamic movement worldwide. According to the President, it is hoped to inspire the world leaders, ulamas, as well as young generations to stick to the path of moderate Islam. The President also emphasized the importance of ulama's role as the advisors of the Prophet and symbol of people's exemplary. President Joko Widodo further said that he is optimistic that the unity of scholars will be able to encourage the axis of moderate Islam to bring hope for the establishment of peace and prosperity for the world. Palestinian delegation cannot participate in the high-level World Muslim Consultation Summit on Wasatiyat Islam or Islam Middle Way taking place in Bogor, West Java, due to important issues in the country. Consular of Palestinian Embassy to Indonesia, Tahir Hamad, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia said that there are many reasons why the delegation of his country cannot attend the meeting, which takes place from the 1st to the 3rd of May 2018. According to Hamad, on May the 1st, the National Council and the leaders of the country are preparing to face the plans of the United States President Donald Trump to move his embassy to Jerusalem.
Yes, there is many reasons because, you know, 1st May, now we are counting the days because the American, especially President Trump, he promised the Israeli to move the embassy of the United States to Jerusalem. And most of our leadership, most of our people stand by to how to deal with this step by President Trump.
According to Tahir Hamad, Deputy Grand Mufti of Palestine, Sheikh Ibrahim Awatala, has been pointed out to represent the country in this meeting. But the importance of the problems faced by the Palestinians made his participation in the summit Bogor undefined. In addition, Hamad also said the Palestinian ambassador to Indonesia also cannot replace his country's representatives because Ambassador Dr. Zuhair Asun is in the Lampung province, Sumatra Island, to attend a meeting organized by the Muslim community which aimed to provide support for the Palestine. Indonesian military continued to strengthen its main weaponry system by purchasing submarine from South Korea. It will give deterrent effect of the countries in the region. It was said by the spokesperson of Indonesian Defense Ministry, Brigadier General Totok Sugiharto, at media gathering at the Media Center of the Defense Ministry in Jakarta on Monday, April 20th. South Korean made submarine Arda Dali 404 is on the way from Korea to Indonesian Eastern Fleet Command. It is the second submarine made by South Korea, and another one is being produced by PT PAL Indonesia. It is hoped this year or next year, the submarine will completely finished. On April the 20th, the second submarine produced in the South Korea is sailing, and it will arrive in Surabaya within 20 days. Brigadier General Totok Sugiharto also said that the attendance of submarine Arda Dali 404 is completed with fully weaponry, which is able to launch 533mm torpedoes and ballistic missiles. Furthermore, Totok said that there will be 3 more combat Apache helicopters in 2018 to strengthen the Indonesian military forces. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited two ambassadors, first from South Korea, Kim Chang-bom, and from North Korea, An Kwang-il, to discuss the peace in the Korean Peninsula at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. The President appreciates the inter-Korean meeting of South Korean President Moon Jae-in and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which expected to bring peace in the peninsula. Indonesia also expected the peace process between North Korea and South Korea continues to result peace agreement. President Jokowi said the peace agreement will affect the peace process in the region and the world. According to the president, North Korea ambassador and South Korea ambassador told him that there will be a follow-up process of the two Korean presidential meeting. The president further said Indonesia is ready to provide assistance in the peace process if needed. An ASEAN committee has been established in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in line with the Southeast Asia's keenness to promote awareness of the bloc in the South American country. According to a press release from Indonesian Embassy in Buenos Aires on Monday, the country had representatives from Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam sign a memorandum of intent of the ambassadors of or head of missions of ASEAN member states in the Republic of Argentina on the establishment of ASEAN committees in Buenos Aires or ACBA on April the 26th. In addition to raising awareness of the ASEAN, the ACBA aims to promote the ASEAN Community Vision 2025 to the accredited country. Indonesian Ambassador to Argentina Nini Kunaryati stated that the ACBA hoped that the ASEAN would become the main driver for all activities of the bloc's member country representatives in Argentina, especially in holding several promotional activities and enhancing people-to-people contact. The ACBA also aims to intensify cooperation between Argentina and the ASEAN member countries. The Indonesian government continues to facilitate the development of the country's craft industry, which serves as the backbone of the folk economy and is resilient against economic crisis. Director General of Small and Medium Industry of the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibowoningsi, said that the craft industry is the spearhead of the folk economy that is unaffected by global crisis. At a time when the financial crisis hits many countries in the world, the national craft products remain strong, saleable, and firm, as the largest commodity contributor to Indonesia's exports. According to Gati, importers and other buyers of national craft products come from various circles, both at home and abroad. They appreciate the added values of the craft goods produced by small and cottage industry as products that have arts, culture, and historic aspects. three books written by Indonesian writers have received awards under several categories at the ASEAN Book Award 2018, which was held on the sidelines of Kuala Lumpur International Book Fair 2018 on Monday. These three books include The Reign of June by Sapardi Djoko Damono, The Book of Dylan, He Is My Dylan 1990 by Pidi Baik, and Sang Pemimpi or The Dreamer by Andrea Hirata. On the occasion, Executive Director of Malaysian State Book Development Foundation, Zakri Syed, signed the first charter to the establishment of ASEAN Book Council with the Chairman of Gemar Membaca Foundation or Reading Hobby Foundation, Firdaus Umar. Indonesia and Malaysia will pioneer the establishment of these institutions by continuing their NEX activities. The last item. Indonesia took home a bronze medal at the 2018 Archery World Cup held in Shanghai, China. The Indonesian Consulate General in Shanghai noted in a statement to Antara in Xiamen, China on Monday that Indonesia's bronze medal was won by Diananda Koirunisa and Riau Ega Agata, who played in the recurve mixed team event. Koirunisa and Agata beat Brady Allison and Katona Lorik of the United States in a mixed team, with a final score 6-0, just to win the bronze medal. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Commemoration of May Day and Foreign Capital Breakout. First May, or so-called May Day, has been set as the day of the World Workers' Struggle by the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions at its Congress in 1886. In addition to demanding 8 hours of work for one day, the movement gave the new spirit of working class struggle of the era. The date was chosen because it was inspired by the success of labor action in Canada in May 1872. Meanwhile, in the United States, it was enforced from May 1, 1886 to commemorate the event of labor demonstration at Haymarket, which ended with shootings by the authorities. Consequently, many victims could not be avoided. Now, the groups of workers around the world commemorate May 1 as the Day of Labor or May Day, and the date is often used as an activity to express their aspirations and demands. The workers usually demand an increase in wages, health and safety protection, workplace condition, or other condition related to their welfare. Unfortunately, in some countries, including in Indonesia, this aspiration or demonstration activity often ends in riots. In 2017, some groups of workers that commemorated May Day in Jakarta and several other big cities resulted in anarchy, even though there was no casualty. Such actions are actually very detrimental to Indonesia. The entrepreneurs or foreign investors will think over and over to invest. They will assume that workers in Indonesia tend to ask a lot of demands and to be anarchic. As a result, such situation is less conducive in terms of business convenience. It is not surprising if many foreign investors shift their look to Vietnam, Thailand, or Cambodia as a place to invest their capital. The reason is not just the ease of investing, such as low taxes and longer land use permits. Indonesia is considered to have too many national holidays, in addition to the problem of labor demands or work wages that are often delivered in ways that are not praiseworthy. President Joko Widodo every Monday that Indonesia is lagging behind in the economic, trade and development sectors compared with its neighbors in ASEAN region. One reason is that some foreign investors look at other countries. Indonesia is a democratic country. Through demonstration, everyone can express their aspiration, but they must obey the existing rules not to make something anarchic. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Today in history. a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with May the 1st, World Labor Day. World Labor Day began with a demonstration of the workers in the United States in 1886, which demanded the imposition of 8 hours of work. This demand is related to the condition at that time when the workers were forced to work for 12 to 16 hours per day. Large demonstrations demanded 8 weeks of work from April to May 1, 1886 in various cities in the United States, followed by 500,000 workers in the country. A peaceful demonstration demanding a reduction in working hours ended in riots and deaths. At that time, the labor movement in Central Europe strengthened. Naturally, this phenomenon is increasingly thickened the unity of the world labor movement in one struggle. The monumental event that culminated the unity of the world labor movement was the holding of the International Labor Congress in 1889. The Congress, attended by hundreds of delegates from different countries, and decided that 8 hours a day became the main demands of the workers of the world. In addition, the Congress also welcomed the proposal of a delegation of workers from the United States calling for a general strike on May 1, 1890 to demand the reduction of working hours by making the date as World Labor Day. Indonesia in 1920 also began commemorating Labor Day on May 1. Next is from May 1, 1963, James Whittaker becomes the first American to conquer Mount Everest. James Whittaker was an American mountain climber. As a member of the 1963 Mount Everest expedition led by Norman Dyhrenfurth, he was the first figure from the United States to reach the summit of Mount Everest, and it happened on May 1, 1963. Despite running out of oxygen, the expedition team led by Norman Dyhrenfurth along with the Sherpa named Dawang Gombu continued to reach the top. Whittaker then stuck the US flag there. I'll end with May 1, 1963, West Irian returned to the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. At the time of the Indonesian independence in 1945, the Dutch government retained power in the western hemisphere of New Guinea or Papua and led steps towards self-government and declaration of independence there on December 1, 1961. Negotiations with the Dutch on the merger of the region with Indonesia failed, and Indonesia paratroopers landed in Irian on December 18, 1961, before a battle ensued between both forces in 1961 and 1962. In 1962, the United States pressured the Dutch to agree to a secret talk with Indonesia that resulted in the New York Agreement in August 1962. Indonesia then took power over Irian on May 1, 1963. That was Today in History of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's is Pancasila, is collective agreement of Indonesian people. The People Consulta Assembly of Republic of Indonesia, MPR, based on the law, is to implement its popular socialization consisting of Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, the Unitary State of Republic Indonesia, and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means unity in diversity. The socialization is carried out to enhance the feeling of love to the nation and the state of Indonesia. Deputy Chairman of the Assembly, Hidayat Nur Wahid, in the popular socialization activity in Depok West Java on last Saturday, as quoted from impr.go.id, stated that in the context of the state, Indonesian people must prove their love to the country by presenting the best. He also explained that MPR, which various appropriate methods without discriminating, carries out socialization to various elements of society throughout Indonesia. He emphasized the importance of its socialization because it would restore Indonesian people's understanding of the noble values of the Indonesian nation. On the occasion, Hidayat Nur Wahid further remarked that Pancasila is a collective agreement of all Indonesian people and becomes the basis for the establishment and enforcement of Indonesian state. Pancasila is extracted from the noble values of the nation that have already existed. Then the values, which are different and diverse, are formulated by the founders of Indonesian people. He affirmed that Pancasila is a glue and it is able to unite Indonesian, whose diversity is extraordinary. Hidayat Nur Wahid perceived that Indonesian nation should be grateful that Pancasila formulated by the founders of the nation is able to become strong glue in a bid to unite Indonesian nation, whose diversity is very high. He asked the people of Indonesia to maintain Pancasila. The efforts to understand, to love, and to implement Pancasila in everyday life must continue to be carried out in any way. One of them is by following the four-pillar socialization. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Edited World Service, Voice of Indonesia, here is news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed the implementation of the World Ulama's Muslim Scholars Summit on Tuesday at Bogor Palace, West Java. Palestinian delegation cannot participate in the high-level World Muslims Consultation Summit on Wasatiyat Islam taking place in Bogor, West Java, Indonesia, due to important issues in the country. Indonesian military continued to strengthen its main weaponry system by purchasing submarine from South Korea. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited two ambassadors from South Korea, Kim Jong-bom, and from North Korea, An Kwang-il, to discuss the peace in the Korean Peninsula at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. An ASEAN committee has been established in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in line with the South Asia keenness to promote awareness of the bloc in the South American country. Indonesian government continues to facilitate the development of the country's craft industry, which serves as the backbone of the folk economy and is resilient against economic crisis. Three books written by Indonesian writers have received awards under several categories at the ASEAN Book Award 2018. Well, listeners, that was the news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce one of the tourist attractions in East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Gresik is located in East Java Province, not only known as an industrial city, but also Gresik also has a place of interesting tourism like other regions in Indonesia. Moreover, Gresik is also one of the natural attractions to enjoy the coolness in the afternoon. The tourism object is called Sendang Banyu Biru. Listener, Sendang Banyu Biru has now become a leading tourist object in Gresik. Especially since 2013, the local government took part in the development of the area by providing funds to beautify and adding more the supported tourist facilities. Currently, the edge of the lake has been enchanted with the storied stones. The stone is useful to facilitate tourists approaching the 25-meter diameter lake. In addition, the stone can also be used as a place to sit, especially during the weekend. The area is always crowded by visitors. Music. Listener, as the name implies, Sendang Banyu Biru has clear blue-colored water that becomes its main icon. The lake water is blue due to the sulfur content. Local people believe that the existence of Sendang Banyu Biru is already known long time ago, even before the Dutch colonial period. In addition, the lake water is also believed to cure various skin diseases. Listener, there are many facilities are available at Sendang Banyu Biru, such as parking area for vehicles, musky, and bathroom. In addition, if you do not bring food and beverage supplies, do not worry because not far from the location there is a simple food court owned by local residents. In the future, other facilities will be added such as children's games, swimming pools, gazebos, and culinary venues that peddle food and beverages. Listener, if in the near future you will visit East Java Province, do not forget to stop by to Gresik and visit Sendang Banyu Biru. To get to the tourist object, you can drive the vehicle to the Lowei Village, Dukun Sub District, Gresik Regency, East Java Province. That was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sendang Banyu Biru. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. I'm Putri Savitri Arela, sampai jumpa.
Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and phrases and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, with the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Berapa Lama, or in English, How Long? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on berapa lama, or in English, how long. The conversation is between Joko and Tony inside Prambanan Temple area. Tony is with his friend Joko. Joko wants to know Tony's plan in Jogja. So, it's Joko. Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja, Tony? Seminggu. Joko, oh, hanya sebentar. Tony, ya. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to the theme today, which is berapa lama, berapa lama, or in English, how long. I will say it two times or twice, and you may repeat after me. Berapa lama, berapa lama. It means, or in English, how long. Akan, akan, will. Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? How long will you stay in Jogja? Seminggu. Seminggu. A week. Hanya sebentar. Hanya sebentar. Only briefly. To ask the duration, in general, use the question word berapa lama. Berapa lama, which means how long. For example, berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? In English, how long will you stay in Jogja? However, you can also ask specifically by using the time unit such as berapa jam? Berapa jam, which means how many hours? Berapa hari? Berapa hari, which means how many days? Berapa minggu? Berapa minggu? How many weeks? Berapa tahun? Berapa tahun? How many years? Another example. Berapa tahun kamu tinggal di London? Berapa tahun kamu tinggal di London? Which means, how many years have you lived in London? You can answer, 2 tahun. 2 tahun, which means 2 years. Another example. Berapa minggu kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Berapa minggu kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Which means, how many weeks will you stay in Jogja? You can answer, seminggu. Seminggu, which means a week. Seminggu means 1 week. If anyone says sehari, it means a day. Sebulan, a month, and setahun, a year. Before ending Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today, for more details, let's listen to the conversation example once more. Berapa lama kamu akan tinggal di Jogja? Seminggu. Oh, hanya sebentar, ya. That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia to email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be an attractive prize for selected senders. The exercise is mention your name, country, address, and favorite foods, all in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. Example. Selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya nasi goreng. Well, let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner for today, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present to you a song from Central Java region. Stay tuned.
Listener, the song we've just listened to is sung by Vika. This song is not known who the creator was. This song tells about two people who learn to know each other. In the process of knowing each other, it is described how to feel longing with someone when he or she is away from the loved one. The song Jangkrik Genggong has also been performed by famous Indonesian keroncong singer, Walt Jina. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cubla Cubla Suang by Nathan and Raisa. Happy listening! Song is usually sung by children while playing the game called Cubla Cubla Suang. The game requires three people at least. How to play is that one child faces down in the middle while the other children surround while taking turns grasping the pebbles and singing the song Cubla Cubla Suang. If the child on the stomach can guess who is holding the pebble, then someone who holds the pebbles will replace the child facing down earlier. The meaning of the song Cubla Cubla Suang itself is to get true happiness. Then, one must escape from the love of worldly possessions, emptying oneself, being humble, not demanding, and always being conscious. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Gundul Gundul Pacul and Jaranan by Taman Siswa Yogyakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening.
Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.